It's All Things Considered on New Hampshire Public Radio. I'm Peter Biello. Contamination at Pease International Trade Port and how the state responded to it is the subject of a right-to-know request filed by Seacoast Media Group and the Portsmouth Herald. The paper requested emails regarding blood testing for people who were possibly exposed to the contamination. The paper made the request 2 months ago, and the state still has not turned over the emails. Joining me now to talk about this is Portsmouth Herald reporter Jeff McMenemy. Welcome to the program.
Thank you. Great to be here.
Jeff, remind us of what kind of contamination was found at Pease International Trade Port and when.
Sure. It was actually about a year ago, almost to the day, that the Air Force did some tests and determined that the level of PFCs in Haven Well, which is a city-owned well at the former Pease Air Force Base, were 10 times higher than a provisional health advisory. At that point, the city closed down the Haven Well. There is two other wells still at the trade port, which is now home to like 9,000 employees and two daycares, which have shown like lower levels of the PFCs, but not levels above the provisional health advisory. So what we were trying to do when we filed the request for the emails from Rick Crescente, who's the Director of Emergency Services for the state, is just trying to figure out what was the state's response to this, how seriously did they treat this, you know, from the beginning, and why they came up with the initial protocol that they did, which called for only testing a total of 100 people when, as of last Friday, 457 people have signed up to have their blood tested.
For this initial request, the state would have had 21 days to respond. It's been 2 months. You still haven't received these emails. They're now asking for an extension. Why did the state say they haven't provided them yet?
The state has said all along that they simply do not have the resources to respond any quicker to the request than they have. There was roughly about 1,100 emails that Crescente either sent or received concerning the blood testing protocol, and they said they don't have the resources to respond to that, even though the judge yesterday said that he really thought that when it came down to it, it amounted to 1 or 2 days of work at the most to kind of go through these emails. And what was troubling to us, too, is that there's the lawyers said for the state said that, you know, there's no way for the state to have their IT person do a search himself to find the emails, and that they had Crescente do a search of his own emails and then turn them over to lawyers from the state. So we're making this request from this person who's been the focus of a lot of how the state responded, and now we have to rely on him to do the right thing and turn over all the emails to us.
So essentially there's no third party verifying that you've received everything that's relevant for this.
Yeah, that's right. And we were happy that the judge in the case actually gave them a 21-day deadline from yesterday to provide or make their best faith effort they could to provide all the emails to us. And yet the lawyers for the state repeatedly said that there were going to be emails that they intended to redact portions of, which was puzzling to us and to our executive editor, Howard Altshuler, who actually argued the case for us in court, because this is all about a blood testing protocol. At the point that these emails existed, there were no blood testing had been done. There was no specific medical histories of any residents that were involved in this in any way. It was just a blood testing protocol, which they've since released and was kind of a very general document, which they had initially refused to release, saying it was a draft document.
What about the people who think they may have been exposed to this chemical? What do they hope to hear from the state?
I think they hope to, on the one hand, from our request, find out kind of why the state responded in the way they did. And also they're hoping to find they're waiting to get back the test results, which will show how the level of PFCs in their blood or in their kids' blood compares to the national average of PFCs. That's really the only thing that the state and the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, which are helping with testing the blood samples, are going to be able to tell people. Unfortunately, they're not going to be able to say because of the science and the testing on PFCs aren't that well developed. You know, how much exactly do you have to have in your blood system before it becomes dangerous to you?
Jeff, thank you very much.
Thank you.
That's Jeff McMenemy, reporter for the Portsmouth Herald, and he's talking about contamination at Pease International Tradeport and his newspaper's request for emails about blood testing for people who may have been exposed to the chemicals there.